microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
I really do wonder sometimes what we're becoming in this country.
It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
Rise and shine, and it's time for Outside the Box, your source for news you can trust. We're here every single day on the Republic Broadcasting Network, broadcasting live from deep in the Northwest. Every day, Monday through Friday, from 11 to noon, Pacific Standard Time. That's 1 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Of course, right here for free every day. You can listen and hear the archives on the Republic Broadcasting Network and get the link to RBN, of course, by going to alexansari.com. Today I'm going to be talking about a number of issues and, of course, covering some of the dark aspects of the news and, of course, talking about spiritual evolution in a time of universal deceit. That is, of course, the discovery of learning what personal freedom really means and how it relates to the survival of the human species. The first report that I'm going to cover this afternoon comes from CNN.com. Now, I first saw the report yesterday on a television screen. Breaking news here locally in Portland, Oregon. A man that the rescue teams have been looking for in the Mount Hood area. In Merlin, Oregon. He was hiking. He was in the mountains with his family. And he has been discovered, his body, that is. His family, fortunately, did survive. And the San Francisco man who sought help for his stranded family, apparently he did get lost in the snowy wilderness, and he died of hypothermia near a fishing lodge stacked with food. That is the most amazing aspect of this story. He died within a mile, or very close, to a restaurant, to a lodge. Now, James Kim, who's 35 years old, had no way of knowing about the Black Bear Lounge. His body was found in shallow water, feeding Big Windy Creek, which is about a mile from the lodge, where he could have found shelter, warmth, and enough food for months, authorities said Thursday. He says, quote, "I wish Mr. Kim would have found the place," owner John James had said. He says, quote, "It would have been a beautiful ending to a very sad story. Fortunately, his daughter and his wife did survive." His daughter, who was 4 years old, another daughter that is 7 months old, they were able to stay warm. And again, he had retreated from the family to seek out help. And this is a very sad story. Why am I bringing up what appears to be a random news item? And why did I make this the top story on my website of the day? This is why. Part of personal freedom, when I say that, for the necessity, for the survival of the human species, a large part of that means maintaining and cultivating our own liberty and sovereignty in terms of learning, if we don't know already, how to survive in the elements. Whether you want to admit it or not, and I know it's not a pretty thing to do, and just because I bring it up does not mean I'm claiming to be an angel or claiming to be a survivalist expert, because I'm anything but that. But I think collectively as a planet, not as a nation, as a planet, because you can see it with the Chinese as well, how many civilizations have become so out of balance, so out of tune with the natural order of things, and of course how to survive if you needed to without all of this technology to boost us up and of course give us our lifeblood, our energy, our right to live. And we'll get more into that when we come back. Give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. close the door, grab a chair, have a seat. Put your feet up on the table, make yourself at home. Now, with this last article that I was discussing, Mr. Kim, who did not make it back to his family. It's very sad. I'm not blaming anyone. That's not what I'm doing here. But there are those of you out there that if you were in the same situation, and I'm saying myself included, a lot of us would not make it out of that situation because we're not prepared. Now, our ancestors could go through the snow, and a lot of them did survive because they were used to it. They were used to the elements. Now, I see Fred just popped up from Philly. We're going to you in just a sec. But I want to share this story really briefly. And by the way, sometimes I come on the show and I just want to give you tons of news out of the gate. And I realize that I'm choir preaching. And sometimes it really serves me better to share more of my personal experience and how I really feel about an issue than just read an article that you can go read on your own. Because this program is about getting outside the parameters of what we are taught to be, what is taught to be the ultimate reality. And I took a wilderness survival course last year, and it was a horrible course. And what I went in there wanting to know was, if a disaster went down and I had to leave my home, what do I grab, A, and then B, the kind of food that I eat? What and how can I identify in a worst-case scenario? What kind of plant life is safe to eat? What is the most nutritious plant, leaf, whatever, for me to put in my body? And what will kill me if I accidentally touch it, put it in my mouth, eat it, because I'm starving half to death out in the wild? Now, those are things that I think are at the center core of what it means to be an outdoorsman. An outdoorsman is not someone who goes to G.I. Joe's and buys the $400 tent and the $300 portable barbecue and the super North Face, whatever brand, $200, $300 sleeping bag. For a lot of people, and they are called yuppies for a reason, no offense intended. But there's a reason you people, some people are called yuppies. Because they're the city boys or the city gals that think they're outdoorsmen or love the outdoors, but they really just take the city with them with their radios and with their portable DVD players. On our own, if we were to say, you know what, if you were in a situation where you had to leave your car and all the equipment in it, how could you, like the Native American, survive? So I think these are questions that are going to come up on a more regular basis for humanity as a whole. You know, people are talking about the war for oil, and we are hearing the allegations and the evidence on the likelihood of the new wars of the future in 15 years, in 20 years. Well, some of them are already happening right now, but on a larger scale. And that, my friends, is the war for water. So with that, and I'm going to bury this issue at this point, to be sovereign, to be independent, to be someone who is free on the inside, on an individual, personal level, part of that is learning how to survive. And with that, we're going to go to Fred in Philadelphia. Hello, Fred.
Hello. It was the first time I've called in. And
thanks for calling.
I listen to, you've got a great voice. I listen to everything you said very closely, but I didn't catch your name, and I didn't catch the name of the program.
Oh, Outside the Box and this and the TV show, because I do that as well. They're both archived at alexansary.com. There's a link on that on RBN.
Okay. I want to bring up the state of the U.S. military. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. We were about to go into that next.
Okay. Well, Senator Reid on the 9th, on November 9th, said that his first priority was to spend an immediate $75 billion, and he said it in a C-SPAN interview in a confidential tone, so he didn't really want this getting out. But the fact is that there's not a single combat-ready brigade on U.S. soil ready to defend the United States. I'm not saying we don't have a Navy, we don't have an Air Force, all the other things, but I'm saying that they don't have, because of the two wars and because of all the commitments, all the peacekeeping, all the mismanagement, they don't have a single combat-ready brigade with all the things that you need, like missiles, tanks, all the artillery.
Now, and there's a couple of ways you can look at that. Why do you think we're not fully prepared if, in fact, tomorrow North Korea and China decided, hey, you know what, we're going to team up and we're going to invade the U.S.?
Why do I think the situation has arisen, or why do I think that we're not prepared?
Well, I think it's by planning or just by incompetence?
I think it's
incompetence
deliberate.
Or, I'm sorry.
I think it's deliberate that we're not prepared, because that information has basically been covered up by the Democrats as well. And the Democrats have been basically trying to save the two-party system. It's really one party.
I agree, Fred. And I've been looking at NATO and what has been called the World Army. And I've been looking at their popularity around the world. They're kind of seen as this good cop and the good cop, bad cop scenario. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that, because I'm seeing a lot of, I don't want to, you know, just call it propaganda and be so simplistic, but I still think that's what it is. We're seeing a lot of dehumanization of the military based upon actions that some servicemen are taking part in, but I don't think that's the big issue. The bigger issue is that I do see this restructuring of the American continent that resembles, like, possibly that they may be more likely preparing for martial law than defending us from a large foreign threat.
Mm-hmm. Well, NATO historically has been a arm of the UN. It's been a regional security actor that is legally capable of conducting war. And there was a time when NATO was ready to be, there were people talking about NATO being obsolete, and I think that there had to be a tremendous amount of effort by Albright and by Perry and Cohen and all these people to say, no, it's not obsolete. And as a matter of fact, we don't even have to follow any rules or laws. We can go anywhere in the world legally, because we're construing that as a threat to the North Atlantic community, and I think that that has been the bulk of the rich countries of the world are tied ever more closely to NATO, and I think, except for China, and I think that that is also a deliberate strategy, and it's been. It's been deliberately put in place to really tie all the militaries, including ours, to NATO and to the United Nations.
Right.
We can't escape the orders of NATO and the United Nations. The only way we can do that is to basically have the military in this country take over the government and make sure that our government declares independence from the New World Order. Other than that, I don't think there's any way to escape it.
And it's also been alleged, Fred, that we already are not just NATO, but us, the United States military, an arm of the UN, because it seems that we have done their bidding many times, including the Clinton administration, which is a really prime example.
Well, the UN is a lot of things. To think out of the box on that subject, I think the UN is a multi-dimensional kind of organization. I don't mean multi-dimensional in physics, but I mean I think it's a lot of different things. And the UN is really there to fill the role of whatever it needs to do in order to be useful. So it really has grown completely from let's say a 1943 or 1945 structure, and it's really basically going to be in our lives from now on.
Yes, I understand, but we're not going to give up the hope, Fred.
No, we're not.
But
the thing that they can't do is they actually can't manage. That's the worst thing that's actually on education, issues, environmental issues, economic issues, issues of health. The individual is just as powerful or more powerful than he's ever been, because they can't manage.
Okay, thanks, Fred. We have a break coming up, and I know Ron's waiting on the line, but I do want to say this about the UN. I don't see the UN, because it is just a skeleton organization, being influenced by other organizations as well. And you can say secret societies, Bilderbergers, Skull and Bones, Trilateral Commission. But I don't see everyone that's in the UN as being necessarily part of a conspiracy. It's kind of like trying to be a top dog journalist in today's world on CNN or Fox News. It's pretty much like you have to do the job a certain way or you're not going to move up through the ranks of the pyramidal structure. The higher you go up on the pyramid, there's the more information, the more knowledge about what the ultimate plan is. The lower down on the pyramid, on the levels going 1, 2, 3, all the way down to the bottom level, which is where a lot of us are, you know, and it is a banking system that is dominating all this, but the local banking teller at U.S. Bank or Washington Mutual has no idea about any economic, because I've talked to him about the economic instability at this moment right now that our nation faces. They don't know. They don't know. And that is part of the pyramid of illusion. At the top, all knowledge. At the bottom, all ignorance. We'll be right back. Oh, and by the way, I am somewhat of an overachiever. I do plan to stick with RBN. I appreciate all of the emails recently reminding me there are people listening, even if you're not necessarily calling in or emailing. But I got a lot of emails recently. I am looking for ISDN equipment, particularly a physical black box and the codec software. It's out of my budget, but if you have copies of ISDN software that could be of use to me, get a hold of me, and I can use it. And my goal that I'm creating my own reality right here, right now, is within a year I will be broadcasting using ISDN software. I'm going to figure it out. Keep asking people to explain to me how you physically set up the logistics of it, and I get Swahili thrown at me from three different people. One person says you do it this way, one person says you do it this way, one person says you do it this way. My Lord, can't you people just get together and figure out the best thing for me? Because I am really important, don't you know? Okay. Ron, Washington, how you doing?
Fine this morning, Alex.
How's it going?
Real fine. I'm glad you talked about the survival thing, because that's something that I am really probably over-enthusiast about it. And, in fact, I wouldn't go anyplace. I have what I call a bug-out bag in my car. And in this bag, and you know, I just figured this one of these days, I'm going to get stuck on I-90 or I-5 out there, and for a number of hours. And here I'm going to be sitting, say, well, can I even put some food in the car? You know, I'm not just talking about apples and stuff like that. I'm talking about where you're going to be there 5 or 10 hours. This could happen. And I asked all my friends about this, and they said, oh yeah, it's a good idea, but they never do it. But, even the fact that I'm ex-military, it doesn't mean that you can't be responsible for yourself. And that's what it boils down to. I think the people are just thinking about the idea that, well, if I sit here on I-5 for 3 hours, Uncle Sam will come by and save my butt, you know.
Last night, I was talking with someone who documented the what is known, Ron, as the Causeway Concentration Camp in Orleans, in Louisiana, in a small town outside of New Orleans. And the whole thing about sovereignty and what you're saying was, this is kind of where martial law meets the survivalist. You had a lot of people that weren't allowed to take care of themselves, to retain the right to own a firearm or stay in their home, for that matter. So a lot of water damage entered the homes, and of course we know now they're going to start rebuilding for the rich and the elite, their property. And I think that is really important, along with what you're saying and what I was mentioning earlier about survival, is that we have to stay sovereign. And we need to maintain a sense of knowing how to survive, but also calling those government officials and agencies like FEMA, calling them, blowing the whistle, making phone calls, writing letters about their attack on our sovereignty and our ability to take care of ourselves. That goes away. Those people were hurt for days. Ron, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. And
This is true. This is true, and I think that, you know, the people around the Seattle area are not going to realize until they sit out there on I-5 or one of the highways there for 5 or 10 hours when martial law happens. They can't take care of themselves. They're not responsible for themselves, you know?
Oh, and I'm right off I-5 as well. And I-84, which we have in Portland, you know, Ron, it's always backed up now, it seems, even during the middle of the day.
Right,
and there's
right.
And there's no crisis going on, which makes me feel a little uncomfortable if something were to go on. The freeway is the absolute last place I would go to get out of my city. I want to run the back roads now.
But, you know, it doesn't take much planning to, you know, put some food in your car and prepare a bug-out bag. And if you had to get out of the car and walk, where would you go, you know? You know, this is very important. People just don't think. We're in a world where people don't think anymore, and they're not responsible for themselves. And I think that's one of the biggest problems, where the American people should get out and start thinking for themselves rather than on the CNN vomit thing there. I got to run here, so I'll talk to you later, Alex.
Thank you, and thanks for your call. And that is what freedom is about. That is about – actually, that's really also about responsibility, which is what you need to have to maintain your freedom. Responsibility, accountability, most of all, awareness of not only yourself, your weaknesses, your strengths, but your environment and how you, as an animal, whether you like to admit it or not, relate to it. You know, we're used to the warmth of the homes that we're in right now, or the studio that I'm in. It's quite warm in here. In fact, it's so warm, I actually have a fan going to actually blow some of the heat out, because there's no real ventilation in this room that I'm speaking in right now. I mean, think about it. It's really cold outside. It's really warm in here. Some of that kind of, I believe, puts our energy and our own ability to keep ourselves warm, it pushes us sometimes out of balance. Because when your body, for example, and it comes on the topic of viruses and bacteria and poisons, you know, if you have a certain amount of immunity that your body is challenged to develop against viruses and things of that nature, it's going to have a stronger chance of fighting off a pathogen or something like that. Those that have things easily given to them, as things have happened over the last 100 years, makes a person less sovereign and, of course, less human. Give me a call, 1-800-313-9443. We'll talk to you after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Uh-oh, I got some weird, and I mean Twilight Zone news for you all, and we're going to go back to your phone calls. Keep them coming. 1-800-313-9443. The question of the day is, how prepared are you to deal with the next crisis? I believe I've taken 2 phone calls so far. If we make it to 5 phone calls, I will send you a free DVD of your choice. And I'm going to do this once in a while, not every day, because I can't make it to the post office a lot. I've sent out absolutely, I'd say about, I don't know, 20 to 30 DVDs of my show, most of them to my mother, which she never watched any of them. But I am getting ready to sell my DVDs. I have been asking for donations. No one's really been donating, but that's okay. I'm going to make actually DVDs for sale instead, and you can donate, and I will send you a DVD for a $5 donation. And to do that, you can learn more at alexhansery.com over the course of the next 2 weeks, I'm going to build a page where there are options, and of course, it's going to be linked to PayPal, which it already is. Now, I lost topic of what I was saying, but anyway, that's for the fifth phone call. Right now, we're at number two. Congress votes to preserve World War II internment camps. Can you believe it? Now, I've been talking about this for a long time. This has been talked about, in the 70s, in the 1980s. It's been talked about, and that is these Japanese internment camps that never went away. Now, you've heard about Rec City 4, have you not? The allegations of the so-called concentration camps, that is, these detention centers that are empty. In fact, we have a large one. It's actually a county jail here in Portland that's empty. And there are stories about the state and the county and the city starting to work together so they can have different inmates from people doing time for the state and the city and the county, county and state, I meant to say, together. Before, it was usually separated. You have the county jails and the state penitentiaries. Now they're going to start mixing it together. You know what that reminds me of? Mixing kindergartners with high schoolers together. Hardened criminals with soft criminals. Just going to mix them all into one bunch. This is called the new federal police state. But on the topic of this, isn't it weird how they're going to maintain it? Now, Bush. Bush is part of this. He signed a bill to make sure that we don't forget what happened to the Japanese. Phooey. Bullocks. As the English say. Absolute rubbish. This man who took away habeas corpus, that is, and but not by himself, my friends, as was previously noted by the previous caller, this is about a two-party dictatorship, a bipartisan dictatorship, not just Bush. So this man who wants to strip you of your habeas corpus, to of course protect us from ourselves, wants us to remember the Japanese internment camps. Now, on a deep subconscious level, even if you don't agree with George W. Bush, like Mac was saying yesterday when we were talking about the reptilian mind, remember that? And the subconscious, if we're constantly looking at camps and detention centers with the wrong perspective and intent, which is what a lot of people do, they see those camps and they become afraid. They may be looking at their own future. We talked about Glenn Beck as well and his ridiculous, very racist statements towards the entire, I don't just mean radicals, the blanket all of the Muslim population, saying, quote, unquote, the entire Muslim population must be eradicated, must I note, exterminated, to end this never-ending war on terror. That is not legal or should not be even happening in the first place. Hallelujah. I mean, think about it. Very strange indeed. But this is not the only story in the last 24 hours about camps being maintained. No. Here's what's strange about it. Yesterday, I read about Auschwitz. Remember Auschwitz? Yes. They are maintaining those as well so we can remember. See, what they're doing is they're trying to, instead of add more structure, foundation from this day and age to it, they want to give it the same classic, shiny look that it had back in 1943, 1944. So they want to keep the foundation, the walls, because currently they're sinking in the ground and in a semi-state of decay, which they should be. I mean, but they want to maintain it under the pretext of reminding us. No, what they're doing is hurting us because they're comparing Nazis to Islamic fascists. Now, you can find a comparison there, but there's a closer comparison with Nazis and the American form of government, and I know that offends a lot of listeners, and I'm not trying to offend all of you. That's just my perspective. Now, we're going to go back to the phone calls in just a little bit, but one of the things that I realized last night is when I got home, after doing the show on the Causeway Concentration Camp with Elizabeth Attlee, which will be uploaded, I might add, by the end of the day. I'll have that posted on the website by this evening. And after doing the one-hour interview yesterday with Mac White of MacWhite.com on mass mind control through network TV, I came into my coal department house, actually, looked around, and sometimes we become so busy, you know what I mean, because I'm a really busy person, that we don't notice every little nook and cranny of our room or of our home that may need, like, dishes to get washed and things like this. Well, one of the maintenance issues that I noticed when I came in my room is that there's a TV in my room. There's a TV in my room that's 12 inches, 13 inches, with a little VCR in it that I never watch. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect or I'm an angel that I don't watch TV. I watch it through Google and YouTube. That's my medium now. I realize that I don't even have a regular phone anymore. I do have a cell phone. And I recognize that I may be spied on all the time. And I don't care because I'm not doing anything illegal. They can spy all they want. But I also don't think I'm that important or that smart. Even though I talk a good talk, I don't think that anyone's really watching me, because there are literally tens of thousands of bloggers out there saying what I'm saying. And while a automatic artificial intelligence induced supercomputer may be analyzing with algorithmic data everything we're saying, everything we're doing, so what? So what? You know why? We're fighting it. We're standing up against us. But they cannot, I don't believe, have the ability to lock us all up. They only want us to think they can lock us all up. But, of course, they are making more and more plans for, I'm hearing more stories about these detention centers, the construction of the new ones and the maintenance of the old ones. There's an admitted plan, although they're never specific about it, and they have a thousand reasons why they need it, but they're all very broad. But they all point to the same central theme: preparation on the government's part of controlling a massive segment of the population, if they had to, immediately. And that is what a lot of the restructuring of the military is really about, as the previous caller noted. We're not ready to deal with an attack from a foreign nation. Actually, I said that. He was noting about how pathetic our military really is at defending our borders. Whether it's illegal immigrants or something larger. And I mean, I'm talking about one day, and if this was to happen, where China, Korea, now even though they're on different sides of the fence on major, major issues, immigration being one of them, how they treat their populations being one of them, although they're both very corrupt governments. What if they were to get together? What if Russia was to join them? We would be wiped out. We would literally have their tanks in our streets. No, seriously, I don't think people really understand the military buildup. And we have contributed to that, I must add. Through the Cold War, this massive buildup of weapons, a lot of it has not stayed within the bounds of the United States because of the way the bureaucracy is laid out within the militarized industrial complex, which got a steroid jump start after Pearl Harbor. When old weapons are old, they're resold. This you know, I hope. They're resold to third world countries so they can kill each other. And then we, with the tab of daddy's credit card, daddy being what I would say the taxpayer, the one sleeping at night, well, the criminals sneak in the car, take the keys, make sure daddy isn't listening, fire up the old car, take the car and the credit card for a spin. But the bill hasn't come yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And all this wealth and all this might and all this fire and spit and good old gun gods and ammo and Jesus and all that stuff that people think is going to save America, if the resources aren't there, we would be defeated. If we didn't have the defense measures in place. You could say your spirit will be enough, but will it be enough? Now, I don't think there is a major plot. I don't. With China and North Korea to get together. And I didn't mean to throw that out there like it's going to happen. I don't. That was hypothetical. But if that were to happen, would we be prepared? And the answer is, if you're honest with yourself, despite all the arrogance you see on the TV and the weaponry, if there was an alliance against the U.S., we would lose, but there's not. You know why? Because these wars were involvement from Iraq to Iran. We're not meant to completely win, but we are meant to fund and finance them at the very least. Because regardless of whether we win or whether we lose in Iraq, those that are the stock owners, the shareholders of Halliburton and Monsanto and the others, the Carlyle Group, Visage, Axiom, the surveillance companies, they are making a killing. And their homes, their mansions are larger than life, while some of us live literally in shacks or with roommates in less desirable conditions. Some of you may be listening, paying $800 a month. For what? For a flat in a studio apartment in New York City? Some of you can only afford to pay $200 a month in rent. And some of you out there may not even have a home. You're couch surfing, listening on your roommate's computer. There is poverty out there. I felt poverty. I still do feel poverty. But I've learned how to channel it. Instead of being someone consumed with unadulterated fury and anger at my predicament, I learned how to channel that into something positive. And I learned how to take that anger, use it as an energy source, and then work through it, let the anger dissolve, and find my true spirit in the process. Because everything we experience in this life is growth. It's about the up, it's about forward momentum, really. It's about evolution, which I believe to be the natural state of man. I don't believe man is just a piece of garbage where all he does in life is sin. I believe that the Bible has been manipulated by the elite to control you, whereas the root teachings of Jesus I believe to be distorted. And I've never understood why more Christians haven't agreed with me on that issue. They say, no, man is right. Man understands. This guy knew. Well, how do you know, and how can you prove to me that the translations were never touched and manipulated? Follow the teacher, follow the instructions and the message of Jesus, but not as followers. You know, I love the bumper sticker. God, Jesus, save me. Save me, please, from your followers with the rope in their hand. They do not understand your teachings. Man is not here to go around and teach other men, and that includes me and my mouth. As I said, almost every single week on my TV program, the most important thing is that you need to find the truth from within. Now, last year I used to say it was a war for your mind. And then I realized, you know what? It's a little more than just being a war for your mind. Because the ultimate way out is that inner consciousness within you. But back to my initial story. When I walked in, I realized my paradigm is continually changing. On a consistent basis, sometimes it is really frustrating. And I let that go over the air. And you guys are wondering what's wrong with Alex. When in reality, to do this and to live this kind of life is to be so far outside the box, you need to be strong intellectually, spiritually. In some cases, because of all the energy that is used doing a show like this, you need to be strong physically. Today's like my 14th day off nicotine. I'm starting to exercise again, hit the heavy bag again, get back into my top shape, my top physical level, which I should be at in a few months. Usually takes about 3 or 4 months. And then from there, I start progressing into new undiscovered terrains with whatever I'm working at the time. I'm not much of a jogger. But to do that, to challenge your body, like I noted earlier, in building up your immunity, the more you challenge your body to work, to breathe, to exercise, to get your heart rate up, the better food you eat, the more GMO and MSG and poison that you stay away from, the stronger you are on all those big three, the big three levels, body, mind, and spirit. There is a link between those three categories. And of course, for New Agers, these subcategories, when people start talking about astral and esoteric and whatnot. But to keep it simple for all of you, whatever you believe in, mind, body, and spirit, and understanding the Trinity, you know what I mean? The Trinity. And it's amazing. The paradigm of walking in my room realizing there is absolutely, if I never watch that TV in my room's small. I wish I had a bigger one. I wish I had my own studio. But the bottom line is, I took that TV and I took it out of my room and put it in the basement. And that is part of the paradigm. See, we're programmed to do things sometimes just out of habit. Why is there a TV in the room? You don't watch it, but everybody has a TV. You ever wonder, why do people think the same? Why do people act the same? And since the invention of the television set itself, even though I sound hypocritical because I am on TV, it's the whole concept of TV teaches the young. TV teaches the old. TV teaches people in the middle, those that are susceptible, what reality is. And, of course, what is important in the world, what wars are being waged, we're taught on the TV in a classic double-think, double-speak fashion. That this is the war that is happening, and this is who it is being raged on, and this is who the fascists are. And it is all reversed 180 degrees. When you take that 180 degree spin that not only Fox delivers you, but CNN and the rest of the networks as well, and bring that back to 360, back to zero, back to square one, get outside the box. Get outside the pyramid. Jump your consciousness up to a higher level and look down to the big picture at the globe spiritually. And you can see as I see that the box is an illusion. But the box is limitation. Outside of the box is infinite love and creative visualization, possibility, infinite hot. You know, there's not much time left. It's very simple. That's the message to get out. The ultimate talking point of the day. This is the time to awaken. We'll be right back. Learn to fly, as the song goes. Where would you fly to, and what would you do, and how would you change the world if, in fact, the bearded man, the one upstairs, the man upstairs watching us all, came down, swooped down, had a talk with you, and handed you the keys to open the door of infinite possibility? What would you do? In a world where people loved each other, taking out all of the darkness, looking at the positive aspects of this dimension. And, of course, whether we like it or not, the learning experiences contained within, what would we do? You know, I haven't had the best relationship with my mother. Yesterday, though, for the first time, I did something that I didn't want to do, but I did it, and it felt good when I was done. Spent half my income, my life savings, all the money I own, basically, in the bank, and got my mom about $200 worth of different gifts. About $200 worth of different spa treatment stuff and some massage type of things. She's involved with performance and ballet instruction and whatnot where she lives in Manhattan, 3,000 miles away. And there's a gift that person would, or my mother, enjoy, that would like. And I brought that up because, you know, I'm not all about the purchasing power of the almighty Christmas season that makes some of us so much money. I think it's kind of sad. I support the free market system, but what Christmas has amounted to be now in the 21st century is a very satanic holiday that is about greed, that is about purchasing from the corporations, whether someone like you or not, based upon the product you buy them. For a lot of people, that one in to Santa Clumble, Santa Claus, that is, the one from the, it has been warped into that image. Now, historically, everything may appear to be on the up and
of the Access Television Studio in your city, now is the time to check in and see where your city stands on that issue, whether they're going to get an Access Television Studio or if they are in fact going to lose one. Because on the local level, We are fueling the conspiracy to take away our media. We are seeing these international corporations, these cable companies, kicking out thousands of little guys around the world, around the nation, primarily in this one. That's why the legislation is trying to be passed, H.R. 5252, which is not just network neutrality. It affects access as well. If we forget about those issues, we've lost, and we've lost a big part of the independent media as we know it. Anderson Cooper is not going to pick up the slack for us. Neither is Olbermann. Not if Olbermann wants to keep his job. He can go. He can go and criticize the president as long as it's popular and ratings come in. But it gets to the big issues, and most of all, false flag operations and government-sponsored terror. Unless we get to that point where that issue is at the forefront of the mainstream media, the bulk of America is not going to wake up to what is really going on behind the curtain, beyond the illusion, beyond the lies, behind the storyboard, the real world, Wizard of Oz. So, my friends, until Monday, when we meet again next, I'm Alex Ansari reminding you the path to the ultimate truth still starts within. And with that, I'll talk to you Monday.